Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 5th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter Into Action, and we are on page 72, reading the second half of the second paragraph that begins with, time after time, newcomers have tried, ending with, until they told someone else all their life story. We're reading and commenting on those last eight sentences of the paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Justin B., who will be reading the text, Lorraine N., who will be reading page 164, and Shelley E. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and no, it's not. Our newcomer greeter is Mo H., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, is 20,119,20119, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,125,20125. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's, our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service this morning. Here are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these character defects. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. I will now ask Dottie W. to read the 12 traditions of OA. And Dottie, if you can hit star one, please. Okay,
sorry about that. Hi, I'm Dottie Debbie from Northern Virginia, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, each OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Daddy W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your shares to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our big book study, our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 72. We're in chapter 6, Into Action, page 72. We're on the second paragraph, and we're reading the second half of that paragraph that begins with, time after time, newcomers have tried, and we're going to read through until they told someone else all their life story. So we're reading and commenting on the last 8 sentences of that paragraph this morning. I will now ask Lois P. No, my thing is really screwed up. I will now ask Justin B. To begin reading. Sorry about that, Justin.
No worries, Stephanie. Thank you. Hey, this is Justin B. I am, I'm calling from Idaho, typically in the state of Washington, and living in the state of recovery one day at a time. What a beautiful thing it is and miraculous. All right, for the reading. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Oh, yeah, as I read this, the words that jump out at me initially are, well, thought is referenced twice, and it's been squiggly letters both times, so it's super important. I can tell you, when I only think that I have When I think that I have lost my egoism and fear, when I think I've humbled myself, I am setting myself up for a fall of some sort or another, whether it be an emotional relapse, whether it be a physical relapse into the food. If I'm living in my thoughts, well, I can't differentiate the true from the false. I'm a big fat liar. And it's really hard for me to get outside of my head and recognize that fact. And one of the best ways that I have found to do this is by taking, well, right now it's doing step 10, but in this instance, we're talking step 4 or 5, taking a thorough moral inventory. And as I do that every day in my step 10 practice and strive to, you know, write, journal, make calls, and do those practices, digging out the places where I'm dishonest, where I'm fearful. You know, it talks about here being humble enough, with enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. Those principles are absolutely vital to be humble. When I recognize that I'm prideful, I need to identify it and talk to somebody else about it. Hit my knees, talk to my higher power about it. Pick up the phone, talk to somebody else about it. Oftentimes write it down and then move on doing the next thing that is of service to my higher power, to my fellows. But same thing with fear and with dishonesty. I think that's about all I've got to share today. I'm just super grateful to have these principles in my life. They have delivered me from certain doom, certain death, certain unhappiness. And even though there are days of stress, there are days of fear, there are days of heartache, as I cling to these principles with all I have, I am delivered one day at a time. And with that, I will pass. I'm Justin. I am still a recovering compulsive addict.
Oh, well, thank you so much for getting us started, Justin. And I believe you're in Washington, correct? Okay, someone wants to look you up.
Yes, I live in Washington, and I'm calling from Idaho today, though.
Awesome, thank you so much. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday, please allow others the opportunity to share. And I'm going to take a lineup, and please let us know your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from, and who would like to share on this paragraph.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Lorraine N. from Oregon.
Okay, I got Lorraine N.
Danielle.
Danielle. Okay, I've got you, Danielle W.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
I've got you, Robin.
Tamara C. in Missouri.
Tamara C. You can definitely take a couple more.
Trisha G., Washington.
Trisha G., Washington.
O-H.
All right, gotcha, Mo. All right, I think we've got a good starting lineup. I've got Melanie C., Lorraine N., Danielle W., we've got Robin P., Tamara C., Trisha G., and Mo H. So we'll go ahead and get started with Melanie C., followed by Lorraine N.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks so much, Steph, for taking the meeting today and all those that are here this morning. I'm so looking forward to the shares that are coming about for today. But for me, I have a personal experience with this particular several sentences, and it's interesting that it's kind of embedded, you know, down in here, because I think it's a real huge cautionary bit of information that could be pulled out and hugely emphasized. I was going through my first four step with my sponsor, and I was holding back something. The last thing, you know, the last thing, and it was big, certainly in my eyes. It was such that I went to the place in the big book that told me that I didn't have to tell my sponsor about it. I could kind of just go, I don't know, to confession someplace and share it out there. And I went to several different places. I went to the fellows that continue to pour so much into my life today and explained it all to them, and they supported my idea. Yeah, if it's too tough for you, take it to somebody else. And I even eventually, over a course of several days, said to my sponsor, you know, finally kind of, because it was kind of really stirring within me so strong, I said, I have this thing, this one thing, but if you don't mind, I'm going to tell it to somebody else. And when the last counsel that I got over this one was that in so doing, for sure, there's this breakthrough, you know, with power and moving along in that realm. But what appealed to me, because my power connection was a little bit undecided at that particular point, even in step five, my relationship with my sponsor would grow. And I was looking for relationship, whether, you know, be with my fellows here, my sponsor, and with God. I was looking for that because I was so broken and so lonely. And I told her that, anyway, the advice was, you know, it'll do something there. And I eventually just sucked it up and said it. And there was this huge breakthrough. But I've since learned through this whole process that I certainly wasn't facing prison or things like that. And we're supposed to get counsel over it. And that what I am holding back is a true psychic change, a true transformation of what filthy rags I was before. And I say that lovingly to myself and maybe with a bit of a joke, but I wasn't changing. I truly wasn't changing those areas that was bringing me so much suffering until I could tell my entire story to someone and get good counsel with wise, recovered people on the outcome of all of these things. And the big book reinforces that typically we don't have too hard of terms. Anyway, thanks, Steph. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Melanie C. from Oregon. And next up, we have Lorraine N., followed by Danielle W. Whoops. Lorraine, you're
Hi.
Up.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Yeah, as the lead share mentioned, the writers of this book were careful to use italics only when they really wanted to emphasize a point, because it was more expensive to print in italics. So, you know, the italics in this part of the paragraph is thought, and all. And let's see. You know, I haven't told someone all my life story yet, because my life is still in progress, which is where my 10th step comes in. And I've done several fifth steps over the years, and I thought I would feel a huge feeling of relief after doing the fifth step. I didn't. Sharing with another all those people, places, and situations in my past that had gone awry stirred up lots of feelings and emotions in me, leaving me feeling kind of numb and sad. And, you know, but I definitely, you know, worked that through. But where I began to feel relief was after my fifth steps, in working steps 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I also have the words humbled and humility circled here. You know, I, that's been a huge practice for me. Humility doesn't come naturally to this compulsive overeater. So I continued to walk this walk every day, and trying to keep my recovery ego, quote unquote, in check. You know, what else did I want to say about this? I'm just so grateful for the principles in this program, because it stopped being about the substance a long time ago. I realize I'm in this program for the design for living. And these steps give me that. I had no design for living. I was a loose cannon before I got here. And today I do have some measure of humility, but it's a constant practice keeping that in check. So I'm grateful I'm here. I'm grateful I had the opportunity to share and a little bit. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine N. from Oregon. And next we have Danielle W., then followed by Robin P. Danielle, would you like to share?
Yes, good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. I'm so grateful for this paragraph. The last line, but they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. You know, I had read that. This is goes back a number of years when I did my very, very first step, when I was doing the steps the first time. And I had a sponsor. I got through steps 1, 2, and 3. And when we were working for her, she admitted she'd never actually done the steps. And so I had to find somebody else, which was difficult at the time. And I picked this woman who really had years and years and years of recovery. And I felt so damaged. And she seemed like a light. I get emotional even talking about it. And I just knew that if I revealed everything, that she wouldn't want, that she would take my fifth step, but she wouldn't want to continue to work with me. And, but I knew I had to be thorough. I couldn't live the way I was living. And so I did that first step. And when it was over, she looked at me so lovingly and said, "Is that it? All that darkness and shame and fear?" And she wasn't going anywhere. And it was just a pivotal moment in my recovery. So for anyone that's new and fearful of this step, you get to let go of the weight of the world that you've been carrying around for so long, you know, and it can be really scary, but it can be so healing. It's really an amazing experience, and that I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from California. Next, we've got Robin P., followed by Tamara C. It's all yours, Robin.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your service. I've recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, what stands out for me is they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. And that's what I get to keep practicing in my recovery, are those three things. And I get to do it through the 10th step. And I remember when I first did my first fifth step, I was so surprised at how I felt this huge weight come off of me. And all this, I grew up in a lot of child abuse and this huge victim weight. And I had so much fear of people. And I also had so much shame around the food and around my existence and just sharing things that I would never have told anyone ever. And it just was such a relief. And I watched that with other people. When I take other people through steps, I can just see these shackles coming off of them and their life changes, their life opens up and they become free. You know, it's just this amazing, miraculous process, and these steps are just heaven sent, and just to have enough honesty and open-mindedness and willingness to do this, that's how we recover. And just seeing it works every time if we work it, it doesn't. I remember when I first came in, I thought it's going to work for everyone except for me, and that self-centeredness, it's just the whole thing. I just kept thinking this isn't going to work, and it works every time when we work it. And, you know, and I get to keep growing in humility, fearlessness, and honesty through my 10 steps. And so that I'm not carrying anything, no secrets, you know, it's just amazing what happens when I let go of those secrets. And I don't feel shame today. I don't have shame. And I used to be so afraid of people. And we have so many friends. And I love being with people. I used to hate being with people. It's just a miracle of, it's like we're in, I'm not even on the same planet anymore. So God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thank you, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin P. And before we take our next person, I just want to let people know, if you've just joined us, we are on page 72. We're reading the second half of the second paragraph that begins with, time after time, newcomers have tried, ending with, until they told someone else all their life story. So next, we're going to have Tamara C., followed by Tricia G. Tamara, would you like to share with us?
Yes, thank you so much. This is Tamara C. I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Missouri. And trying to keep certain things about certain facts about my life to myself. Something that came to mind is when I was in college, I went through a tough time. My grades took a dive, and so I was asked to go see a counselor. And I remember the counselor started asking me personal questions, and I said, you know, there are secrets that I have that I will never, ever, ever tell another living soul as long as I live. And this counselor just said, well, you know, some people find that it's helpful to share these things. And I sat there thinking, not me, not ever. And then many years later, 12-step program, hearing that I need to share everything about myself with another, you know, the parts of me that I find to be scary. Like, I thought, if I tell my sponsor this, she's no longer going to like me. She's going to be abhorred by me, and what is she going to think of me? But I really, really was desperate for recovery, so I told everything. If it was something I especially didn't want to say, I said it, and so much good has come from reviewing my inventory with my sponsor. I know I would not have the peace with food that I have today if it weren't for step five. And I found in reading in the AA 12 and 12 about step 10 on page 89, it's talking about like all the different kinds of inventories, and it says, then there are those occasions when alone or in the company of our sponsor or spiritual advisor, we make a careful review of our progress since the last time. And so when I'm doing a check-in with my sponsor, I have this temptation, like, oh, I'm just going to tell her, like, what's going well. But then I remember, I want recovery, so let me just be real about what's been going on. Where have I been self-centered and delusional? She just helps me go deeper and uncover more patterns. And I do find that there is more humility, that I get to join the human race. I know that I'm deserving of love as a human being. There's fearlessness, knowing that God accepts me and loves me as I am, and God is for me, so I can believe in myself. And there's honesty, because I get to be real, and it's just amazing. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Next, we will hear from Tricia G., followed by Mo H. Tricia, you ready?
Yes, good morning. Hi, this is Tricia G. from Washington State. Thank you for your service, Stephanie. I was thinking about how being an addict, it really has been difficult for me to get completely honest, not just with food. You know, it took a while to become entirely abstinent. I started pretty basic, but it took me a couple of years before I was entirely abstinent, where I addressed all the foods and all the behaviors. And it also took me 3 times going through the steps before I really felt like I told the thing that I was holding on to as thoroughly as I felt that it needed to be told, to be completely understood and have the other person hear me and accept me and still value me, even though this was what I felt was my most shameful thing in life. And it was because I trusted that person. And this is what the steps has helped me to do over all my entire life and relationship with people, is to develop trust in other people and also trust in myself. Someone else mentioned the shame, the fear and the shame. And I'm beginning to have that experience. I'm almost 4 years in, where when I make a mistake, I don't feel shame. Like, I just realized that mistakes are part of life. Everybody makes them. It's how we grow. It's how we develop wisdom over the decades of being alive, is through our experiences and our mistakes. And I don't feel shame from it. But I had to say my deepest, darkest thing to somebody else, be accepted, be understood, not feel shame, I think, as part of getting to the place where I am now. And it's so freeing, liberating. I didn't know if I'd ever feel that way in life, quite honestly. I thought it was just part of who I was at my core. So these steps are just wonderful and have totally changed my life. So I will pass with that, and thank you for letting me share. It's Tricia G, T-R-I-C-I-A-G, from Washington. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Tricia G. And we're going to have Mo H, and then we'll take another lineup. Mo, you ready?
Yes. Yep. Thank you very much, Stephanie. Mo H here, recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So here we are on the fifth step, and I see that the name of the chapter is Into Action, and I have underneath it Not Into Thinking. So I'm not going to think my way through this step. I have to take action. And one of my actions is, yes, I need to write down everything that has blocked me from the sunlight of the spirit, so to say. And I have to reveal that to another person. If I keep secrets, you know, there's a saying, you're as sick as your secrets. I am not going to recover. And I have done many, many fifth steps. I've been in the room since 1989. And, you know, it wasn't until the most recent fifth step, which was in about 2000, well, not most recent, but one of mine, in 2015, that I finally revealed to my sponsor that I had stolen and that I needed to repay. And that was a secret that I just wanted to keep to myself and never tell anybody. And I didn't want to go through the humbling experience of having to meet those people face to face and repay them. And I was extremely nervous. I had three places that I had stolen from. It was grocery stores. And I had first store, I remember sitting outside the store, and I called my sponsor up, who was a very loving and kind person. And, you know, giving me encouragement and saying that she's there for me, calling her and telling her that I was really afraid to go in. And I did. I walked through my fear, you know, and they say, you know, courage is fear that said its prayers. It's a saying we have. And I went in and I did it. And I'll tell you, that was so freeing to have done that, and the person on the other end was so lovingly accepted that and even gave me a hug and thanked me for being so honest. And yeah, this program is about honesty, that I don't need to keep anything to myself. And in that 11-step review that we do at night, you know, have we kept something to ourselves which should be shared with another person? And there are some times that I have kept something to myself that I need to share with another person. So this step is really about being rigorously honest. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Mo H. And we're going to take another lineup. But I just want to remind everyone that although we truly value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So paragraph on 72, reading the last eight sentences. So who would like to share on?
Larry G.
Okay, I've got Larry G. from California.
IOA from California.
Dion R.
I've got IOA. I think I just heard Dion R.
Ann B. New York.
Okay, Ann B. from New York.
Drew D. New York.
Was that Drew?
Drew D. New York, yep.
Drew D. New York. Okay, let's see. Two people five. We'll stop there, because I think that'll probably get us through the end of the meeting. So I've got Larry G, IOA, Dion R, Ann B, and Drew D. So Larry, would you like to get us started?
Thank you, moderator. My name is Larry G, and I am a recovered alcoholic. Thank Jason for doing such a great job getting this up this morning. You know, the big book talks about that we are people of extremes, and I am definitely a person of extremes. I just don't do anything moderately. And a result of that, if I really want to not only stay absent, that's just one piece of it, but if I really want to live a life that is free of obsession and free of fear and dishonesty and self-centeredness, this step is vital. I cannot not do this step. And sitting down with a sponsor is just one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. One of my character defects that I continue to work on is dishonesty. It's a real problem for me, and especially around my food, right? I have to work on that. And my sponsor will tell you that I work on that every single day. But this fifth step has had such an impact on my life. I just cannot even begin to tell you all the great benefits I've had from working the step. But it's like throwing a rock in a pond. It has a rippling effect in all areas of my life. For example, my marriage. My wife and I are both in program. We both do regular fifth steps, which includes a resentment of sex and a fear inventory. We give it to our sponsors, not to each other. We give it to our sponsors. And it's just helped me to become a self-supporting member of society, where I no longer scare the normies, right? I can now live among the normies. But it's also helped socialize me to be successful in my marriage. And I have a successful marriage today. We have a partnership, and we are truthful with each other. And when we hurt each other, we do a 10th step. And it's helped me to really show up in this marriage in a powerful way, mainly because I get to look at where I'm selfish and where I'm self-centered, where I'm dishonest, where I'm afraid. And fear is a big one for me. Fear of losing something I have, fear of not getting something I think I deserve, or fear of being judged in a certain way. And this is where I do my work. In between the annual fifth step, I do 10 steps. What a gift. I mean, this is a program of action. It's a program of action and becoming responsible for self. Responsible for what? My thoughts, my behaviors, my actions. I love it. I love the 12 steps. I did my first step in 1981.
Gentle reminder.
And I will stop with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Next, we'll have IOA, followed by Dion R. Io, you ready?
Yes. Good morning, Stephanie. This is Io, a compulsive overeater in Irvine, California, and I'm grateful to be here today. And you know, I like to see myself as a newcomer, even though I've been around for a long time. I have a lot of fear that I won't get this right this time. So I'm really trying so hard to be honest, and I'm in the middle of my fourth step right now. And I'm discovering that a big part of what's happening with me is I perform a person that is safe, and the person that I really am is full of fear, really frightened. And the biggest thing I see getting in the way of my fourth step is the anticipation of the fifth step. Like, it's not so much that, like, right now I'm doing it privately, but that I'm going to have to share with my sponsor that I'm not who I pretend to be or who I project to other people or who I desperately want to be. That, in fact, I'm really, really far from it. And just working on these things has become really scary. I recently thought that I was, you know, working on my fourth step in the right way, and it felt actually pretty good. And then I realized my sponsor said, you know, you're supposed to be looking for your part in the resentment. And I realized that I really didn't think I had a part in any of the resentments, that these were really horrible people. And while I had really tried to see them differently and put them out of my mind, I was able to do that because I still thought they were pretty horrible people. And I wasn't really able to look at myself. So I'm working on looking at myself, but I have to say this part is really difficult for me to see my part. And sometimes it's glaring, but other parts, times I'm sitting there and I'm writing the word nothing, nothing. I did nothing over and over again. So I do hear loud and clear that I cannot recover if I don't do this part. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, IOA from California. And we'll have Dion R. followed by Ann B. And Drew, I'm not sure if we'll get to you. We'll see how we do with time. So Dion, you're up.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for your service, Stephanie, and everyone who's here. It's given me very good words of wisdom and reminded me of how I thought many times in the beginning. When I said the fifth step, we would read it over and over in steps. I mean, in meetings, step 1 through 12. And the fifth step really scared me, you know, especially from being brought up to believe that everything happens. You better keep it a secret, else to cause harm, disownment from the family, or yada yada. Like most people out here, is saying on this line and in 12-step programs. You know, we were taught to keep that because we're being noble. And as I was keeping those secrets, I was getting very, very huge physically. I was just getting so big because I needed more food or whatever to hold in that secret. But I like this paragraph when it says time after time. You know, if we skip this vital step, I may not overcome compulsive overeating. And I saw other ones. I stayed around long enough to keep my secret thing, grow in the program, grow physically, not spiritually or mentally. And I saw other people doing the deal. They were growing in the right direction. Their bodies were getting smaller. Their egos were getting smaller a lot. And I was like, okay. So I seen that I kept going right back to my drug of choice because I felt like I could not do this. And then I was an all or nothing type girl, woman at that time. And it was like, you need to tell it all. I ain't telling you nothing. And once I got on the podium, it told it all. And some of the old time, look, you don't tell it to the whole, look, it's your sponsor. So all of these things I had to, well, I grew up in Overeaters Anonymous. But you guys helped me. Y'all held my hand. Y'all comforted me. without letting me know when I need to tweak something. I still do. And I love it because I continue to come back with an open heart, open mind, and realize they would tell me, look, you're not on step five. Let's just try step one. When I was on step one, they held my hand and made me feel all included. Then step two, I didn't know about that higher power stuff, you know, but I just kept an open mind. And then step three, are you willing? By that time, my life and my spiritual surrounding just assured me that something or someone is going to hold my hand through it all. And I took a chance to be willing. And then I took the fourth step. That was scary. Ooh-wee. And then the gentle part of seeing it with someone, as anyone has said on this line, they didn't look at me like I was had four ears or whatever. They loved me, embraced me. Or I said, girl, that ain't nothing. I did A, B, and C, too. The answer A always is Z, and I may have did A, B, and C. So just to know that I'm not alone, and my higher power has replaced a lot of those people in my
life. Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much. I rely on my higher power now and the people he put on my path. Like Miss Stephanie telling me, definitely a reminder to get it and to keep moving, put one foot in front of the other. Thank you all for allowing me to be a part.
Thank you, DNR. Yeah. And Ann B.
Hi. This is Ann B. from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I am a compulsive overeater, and I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 18 years. And I'm thinking back on my first fifth step. My intergroup had Lori C. come and do a retreat on the Big Book about 6 months after I joined program. And I decided that I was going to stop using the OA workbook, which was absolutely driving me insane, and do my step four, because I knew that I had done steps one through three in my heart. And there was no one in my inner group who knew how to sponsor the way Lori C. was talking about. And so three of us formed a little study group to do step four together. And the other two women just never wrote anything. And they relapsed. And I spent about 3 months and I wrote my step four. And I went back to my very first sponsor who had dropped me because I wouldn't eat off the gray sheet. I felt my higher power had given me a food plan. And by that time, I had lost the weight. So she knew that what I was doing was working, even though it wasn't gray sheet. And she had me come to her house, and she had this enormous, beautiful mansion in a wealthy suburb. And it was such a lovely place to come. And we sat there in her dining area, and it was like 3 or 4 hours while I was reading all the stuff I had written. And never in my entire life had anyone ever been willing to listen to me for that long. It was a very moving experience for me that someone would be willing to do that. And here we were in this beautiful home with the sun streaming in these big windows, and she sat there and she listened for the whole time. And then at the end, she told me it was beautiful. And I just, as I said, it was such a moving experience to me that someone would be willing, because all my life, no one was ever willing to listen to me. And And I know, although, like some of the other people here, I didn't feel that immediate sense of relief, and I had to do more searching to find out what the lies were that I was telling myself that were really hurting me and keeping me emotionally not sober. That still was a very important part of my progress in this program, and allowed me to go on and develop into the rest of the steps, and especially to step 10, which allowed, you know, a concept that we're going to continue doing this process. And if we miss something the first time, the next time we can find it. And eventually I did.
Gentle reminder.
And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. And sorry about that, Drew D. We ran out of time, and we'll now close
the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lorraine N., will you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, again. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.